Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning, and a special welcome to all those who are joining us on the live stream. It is always a pleasure to welcome folks from near and far who join us in worship each week, and it's a privilege to have you with us this morning. The announcements for this morning are contained in your bulletin, and I would draw them to your attention that you might make note of those which are most important to you, or they were on the screens, some of them as well. Over the month of March, we are going to be focusing our kind of mission focus on the camping ministry of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. Here in Eastern Ontario, we are blessed to kind of sit perfectly between two of the camps of the Presbyterian Church in Canada, Gracefield Christian Camp and Retreat Center to our north, and then to our east is Camp d'Action Biblique in Quebec. And so there is information on the bulletin boards downstairs, and in on the glass right there, I can see it from here. Registration information, if you're interested in more information. We also have registration forms, I know for sure, for Gracefield in the office. So if any of that is of interest, please make note of that. The annual meeting will be held on March the 15th following worship, so make note of that. There will be a lunch, and then we'll move into the meeting. And before we put the annual meeting on March the 15th, the Worship and Music Committee had already planned a special service of worship on that afternoon, focusing on the Psalms of Lament. And we spent a great deal of time deciding what day and what time it was going to be. And then the annual meeting moved to that day. So we did a little discussion as to whether we should move it, whether we should keep it. We decided we're going to keep it on the 15th. We've moved it to 2 p.m. What that means is the annual meeting cannot go past 2 p.m. What it also means is you will already be at church. And you can stay and join us in the Psalm Fest. And as I say, it's a special service of word and music focusing on the Psalms of Lament. We'll learn some new songs, we'll sing some old songs, and we will cover a breadth of the musical tradition of the church. So it's going to be a fun afternoon, and we hope that you will indeed stay for the Psalm Fest following the annual meeting. It will make for a busy day, but it will be a settling time after the business of the church before we send you on your way. Flowers in the sanctuary this morning have been placed by the Mack family in memory of Barry Mack, whose funeral was held yesterday here at the church. In that regard as well, both from Anita and from myself and the leadership of the congregation, a thank you to everybody who assisted in yesterday's funeral and lunch. The rest of the announcements we'll leave for your perusal throughout the rest of the day. This morning's call to worship is, as is our custom, a responsive call, and it will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of the Lord this morning. But first, we'll light the Christ candle. I heard a buzz out there. As a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and we who are his people seek to walk in his light. The call to worship. Our God is majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, worthy of our highest praise.
Who is like the Lord?
Our God blew back the waters, prepared a path through the sea, and appeared as a pillar of fire to light the pilgrim way.
Who is like the Lord?
The Lord is our strength and our salvation. Let us sing to the Lord whose glory. I just got carried away. I wanted to do your piece too. That was such a good line. Let us pray. Lord God of strength, you have protected us from those who would seek to oppress us. You have shielded us from those who would seek to destroy the good gifts that you have put in us. Your love and power never fail. We give you thanks and praise, for you are our safety and our stronghold. Be with us in our worship this day, and guide us as we seek to give you all glory and praise. We exalt you, O God, majestic in holiness, for there is none like you. Amen. Our first hymn for this morning will appear before you on the screens. When Israel out of Egypt went, the words may be new, the tune you know. As we gather in God's presence, let us confess our sins to the Lord, knowing that it is God who forgives and God who saves. Our prayer of confession for this morning is as our custom, unison, and will appear before you on the screen. Great God who delivers us, we confess that we remain captive to our sin. We move heaven and earth to save us, but we are unmoved by the suffering of others. You are willing to forgive again and again, but we are unwilling to forgive those who offend us even once. Forgive us and set us free. Let us be no longer bound by sin, but released, restored, set free to worship and serve your freedom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear this good news. Our sins are forgiven. God is merciful and gracious and is Lord of us all. Reconciled to the God who loves us, let us live and love through Christ our Lord. Amen. And as Christ has been forgiving of us, we too are to be forgiving of one another and to build pathways of peace in our own relationships and in the world. In that light, let us now take a moment to stand and pass the peace with those who are around you. Let us sing 319. Wherever I may wander, hymn 319. Good morning. And how are we all doing this morning? Good. Good. We're in a special time of year, a special season in the church. Does anybody know what it's called? How do we know we're in a special time in a special season? Huh? Calendar. Calendars help. Top of the bulletin, it says it right there on the top of the bulletin. That's the answer I was looking for. The colors change in the church, don't they? Or at least the minister's stole. We're in a purple season. And there are two purple seasons, and they are Advent and Lent. And we're in Lent. Easter's white. Lent is a purple season. Color in purple means we are more reflective. We think more about what it means to be the followers of God. One of the things that happened during the season of Lent and is kind of it's common our language, we often refer to the season of Lent as a journey and journeying through Lent. And we do that for two reasons. One is it used to, for many people, this is a time when they go on a pilgrimage, when they go on a long hike. And a hike of faith where they go someplace special. So that's one thing. The other reason, of course, we refer to it as a journey is because it's the season in which Jesus journeys toward Jerusalem, which then allows us to unfold all of the things that happen on Good Friday and Easter, but not to get too far ahead of ourselves yet. So Lent, we often say, is a journey. And I was thinking about that this week. And I thought, if you were going to go on a journey, and not an airplane journey, like we sang about in the hymn a minute ago, or not a car ride journey, but a walking on your own 2 feet journey. What do you think would be important? Yeah, any idea what might be important? A good pair of boots, right, would be really, really helpful if you were going to go on a long walk. I tried. I really did. Right? A good pair of boots. These are my boots. The minister's boots come back for a second appearance in the children's story in about 2 months. So good thing I wear boots from time to time. A good pair of boots, because that gives you a solid foundation, right? Something that's solid, so if you are on rough ground, you don't stumble and fall or go over on the side and twist your ankle, all those things, right? Good pair of boots is important because boots give us a foundation. For us who are Christians who believe in Jesus, we also say that the Bible is our foundation. It's the thing that we get to come back to, and we get to learn more about God and God's love for us, and we get to learn about Jesus, and that gives us a good, solid foundation upon which we can stand and live the rest of our lives. So our Bibles are like our boots for the journey, and they give us a good, solid ground on which we can stand. So that is what I wanted to remind you about this morning. We'll talk about some other things that we may take on a journey for the next several weeks. So you can look forward to that during the children's time. And with that, Trish is ready this morning. You're going to go downstairs. And I hope you have a wonderful time. I look forward to hearing from you when you get back up. Let us once more join in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, your word is strong and leads our feet to your holy dwelling places. Strengthen and guide us with your word through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first reading is from Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Indeed, by a mighty hand he will let them go. By a mighty hand he will drive them out of his land." God also spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they resided as aliens. I have also heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians have enslaved, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will free you from the burdens of the Egyptians and deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Moses told this to the Israelites, but they would not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his land." But Moses spoke to the Lord, "The Israelites have not listened to me. Why should Pharaoh listen to me, a poor speaker that I am?" Thus the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and gave them orders regarding the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to free the Israelites from the land of Egypt.
A reading from John 14. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. A reading from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, See, the home of God is among the mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, See, I'm making all things new. And he also said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things. I will be their God, and they will be my children.
Let us join our voices in song as we sing hymn 592, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, hymn 592.
Thank you.
And once more, let us listen for God's word as it has been given to us in Psalm 114. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became a sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why is it, O Lord, that you flee? O Jordan, that you have turned your back? O mountains, that you skip like rams, O hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I get a witness? It's a little early in the sermon, I guess, to make such an invitation. If you are familiar with the expression, can I get a witness? It comes from the call and response tradition of the African American church. Think, if you will, of any movie that you've ever seen where they show an African American church. One of those stereotypical scenes with ladies in cotton dresses and gloves and hats and men in sports jackets and ties holding their hands in the air and exclaiming, "Amen!" Frank A. Thomas, who is the professor of homiletics, that's the fancy word for preaching, at Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, Indiana, has described this practice of the African American church, this as a dialogue between the preacher and the congregation and God. If the preacher is preaching and the people are being moved by the message, then the result is that amen chorus that you see in the movies all the time. It is the affirmation of the people of faith, the community gathered together, that what is being said in the pulpit is true because they have experienced it themselves. I must be honest. Every now and then, as a preacher, you think, it might be nice to get a little bit of positive feedback from time to time. We Presbyterians, being the chosen frozen that we are, tend to like to sit nice and orderly in the pews with our hands folded neatly in our laps and to be very, very quiet for the next 20 minutes. But Thomas also notes that if the sermon is falling just a little bit short on any particular morning, if the preaching is just a little bit flat, then the amen chorus grows silent. And instead of amens, the chorus changes. All of a sudden, the people then start to call out, "Help them, Lord!" in an attempt to increase the Spirit's power and revelation in the message for the day. I'm not sure I would like that. There's a little bit too much honesty there, maybe. And if the preacher feels that the people are slow to respond, then he will call out, "Can I have a witness?" And those who have experienced the overwhelming love or presence of God of which the preacher is speaking are invited to respond, "Amen." I'm not building expectation for the sermon, just saying, but that's how it works. But testimony, of course, the ability to witness to the interaction of God in our lives is not limited to the African American church. Throughout Scripture, there are moments of testimony to the goodness and greatness of God. and structure built right into those faith communities that they will set time aside to give that testimony. This is central to all of our texts throughout this Lenten period, drawn as they are this year from the Hallel Psalms. The Hallel, Hebrew word, says praise. But the Hallel Psalms are this particular series of psalms. Psalm 113, which you heard from Alex next week, through to 118. Convenient. There's six of them. They fit perfectly in Lent. But they are psalms that are part of that of a faith tradition that bears witness. And here today, we look particularly at the historical events of the Exodus that are remembered in Psalm 114. As God gives the Passover feast to the people of Israel, as we heard from the reading from the Hebrew Scriptures this morning, and also, but more particularly in Exodus chapter 12, God tells Moses how he will strike down every firstborn of the Egyptians in the land so that the people of Israel will be set free. And as we heard, the people are told that they should be prepared to go. Do not delay on this night. They should prepare a meal that will strengthen them for the journey, a meal that will be eaten with their sandals on their feet and their staff in their hands, so that they will be ready when that moment comes. And this is what God says regarding the Passover. It shall be a yearly celebration for the people. Exodus says, then Moses called all of the elders and said to them, go, select lambs for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go outside of the door of your house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike down the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over your door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you down. You shall observe this as a perpetual ordinance for you and for your children. When you come to the land that the Lord your God has promised to you, you shall keep this observance. And when your children ask you, what does this observance mean? You shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord. For he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians but spared our houses. And the people bowed down and worshiped. And when your children ask you, what does this observance mean? You shall say, can I get a witness? Throughout this season of Lent, as we read the Hallel Psalms, these six psalms, it is a collection of psalms that were being recited during the great pilgrimage feasts of the Hebrew faith. The three great feasts of the tradition, which during the time of the temple in Jerusalem, faithful Jews were required to attend the celebration of the feast in Jerusalem. It meant the people three times a year were on the move, gathering with others as they journeyed together to the great city. And the tradition holds that as the pilgrims made their way to Jerusalem from their homes spread across the land that God had promised to them and to their ancestors before them, that they would sing these psalms as they traveled, a kind of sacred choir practice to remind them of why they were making the journey to Jerusalem and to prepare them to take part in the great worship that they would experience when they finally arrived. Can I get a witness? And here, in Psalm 114, this psalm is built on this reality. Oh, I meant to say to you when we read it, if you're following along in your Bibles, keep your Bible open. You might like to have it open at this point. You don't have to, but if you'd like to. Here in Psalm 114, we have this reality that the God of the children of Israel, the God who is a God of justice, the God who set his people free and led them out of the land as he had promised them. Israel went out from Egypt, the psalm says in verse 1. Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel, God's dominion. The promised land was realized. And then in verses 3 and 4, we have this amazing articulation of the power of God. God looked upon the Red Sea, and the sea ran away from his gaze. The mountains, those great unmovable stone features across the land, shook as God and his people passed by, like those bouncing lambs that you see in the YouTube videos, right? Unable to stand still in the presence of their Creator. It is an articulation of the awesome power of the Almighty, that the God who drew his finger across creation and caused the valleys to be formed and the mountains to rise up continues to have the power to form and reform the world. And he continues to have the power to form and reform us. That God's great plan of salvation might be fulfilled. Can I get a witness? And then, in verses, just to make the point, the psalmist taunts the creation. There is a great taunting tradition in Scripture. It arises from time to time, and this is one of them. One of the other great ones is is found in the books of Kings as Elijah taunts the prophets of Baal. Olivia's favorite taunts out of Scripture. They're set to music by Mendelssohn in the oratorio Elijah. They are amazing, both the music and the taunt. But the psalmist here throws in this taunt to the creation, lest the natural order continue to think that they live under this illusion that there is any power in it apart from God. The psalmist engages in the high theology of the public school playground. The "my dad is stronger than your dad" argument. You probably could pick it up in the reading from Psalm 114 a moment ago, but in the Message by Eugene Peterson, puts a nice twist on it, I think. He writes for this psalm, "What's wrong with you, sea, that you ran away? And you, River Jordan, that you turned and ran off. And mountains, why did you skip like lambs, or like rams? And you, hills, frolic like lambs. Tremble, earth, you are in the Lord's presence." Can I get a witness? This is a psalm about God's great power. The power to form and to reform the world in which we live, the power to form and reform us and our hearts, that we might learn to love and serve the Lord. For who can stand in the awesome presence of God? Who could stand before the Lord were the Lord not on our side? And thus the psalm takes a surprising little turn at the end, doesn't it? The psalmist returns to the loving kindness of God. All of a sudden, this great invocation, this great command, "Tremble, earth, you are in the Lord's presence." In the presence of the God of Jacob, takes a little turn. Because he says, because that God, that great God of in whose presence you stand, is the God who turned the rock into a pool of cool water. That great and awesome God who stares down oceans and they fear, turned flint into fresh water with a touch. This God who turns back seas and breaks down mountains is also the God who heard the cries of God's children when they were thirsty in the desert and caused the water to gush forth from the stone to cool their thirst. How great is our God? Can I get a witness? On this week in our Lenten journey, we have options. It's nice to have options from time to time. Who is the God that you need most in your life, in this season of your life? Because Psalm 114 gives us options. Do you need a God of deliverance? The God who hears the cry of all who turn to him in trust. The God who stands against suffering and injustice in our world and gives to his people hope and a future. Because as Psalm 114 reflects the events of the Exodus journey of the people from captivity in Egypt to the land that God had created them, surely a God of deliverance is there. Do you need to be reminded of the great power of God? The God whose fingers both carved the rock and touched the human face at creation. The God who is able to collect the power of the universe in the palm of God's hand and contain it and control it so that it rises each morning and sets each night and it does not destroy the earth at all but warms it and gives light and life. Because Psalm 114 gives witness to that God too. Or do you need the God of humor? The God who tweaks the nose of those who think they have more power than they actually do and goes, na 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 na. The God who brings joy to our hearts in the laughter of friends and the beauty of the flower that rises from the bulb. Because that God is there too. All of these realities are present in this psalm, images of the God that we have and the God that we need. And as a result, I'm going to send you home with homework this week. I invite you this week to set aside a few minutes each day. Give me 15 minutes to sit in stillness with this psalm. Pause for 2 or 3 minutes, perhaps if you're lucky enough, in a sunny corner next to the window. I think it's supposed to be a sunny week too. You're in luck. And begin by just sitting and stilling your mind. Push out all of the busyness that is usually buzzing through there, all of the noise, all of the distractions. And then slowly and deliberately read this psalm. Read, pause. Read, pause. Read, pause. It's only 8 verses. You can do it 3 times in 15 minutes. And as you read each time, think about these questions. First, the first time you read it, what one word or phrase stands out in the text? And in that moment of pause, meditate on that one word or one phrase. The second time, once you've read the psalm, think about where does this passage touch my life today? And pause in that for a moment. And then the third time, from what I have read in this psalm, where do I believe this passage is guiding me today? And take the time in between each of the readings to stop and to sit and to breathe with your word and your phrases. It sounds like a lot, I know. And I know what you're thinking. I wish I had a pencil. So I should have written all of that down. Don't worry. We will put a guide to this style of reading scripture, known as the Lambeth Bible Study Method or the African Bible Study Method, on the church's webpage for you, or on the Facebook page, so that it's readily accessible to you. Somebody needs to remind me that I need to do that tomorrow morning. But it will go up there, I promise you. It will be readily available. And if social media is not your thing, give us a call here at the church and we will send it directly to you. But in this week, in this season, let us listen for God and God's leading in our lives. And if we do that, then we will be witnesses. Amen. Having crawled outside of the box of the Revised Common Lectionary for the preaching schedule this year, I'm having to go further and further afield into the doctrinal confessions and creeds of the church to find something for an affirmation of faith. So we're getting into some of the ancient documents of the Reformed tradition. This morning, our affirmation of faith comes from the Second Helvetic Confession. I know you've all read it and memorized it. That's a joke. But it's out there if you want to look it up sometime, one of our Reformed documents. And we read from chapter 7 of the Law of God. So let us read together. The will of God is explained for us in the law of God. We teach that the will of God is explained for us in the law of God. What he wills or does not will us to do. What is good and just. What is evil and unjust. Therefore, we confess that the law is good and holy. We teach that this law was not given to us that we might be justified by keeping it, but that rather, from what it teaches, we may know our weakness, sin, and condemnation, and despairing of our strength, might be converted to Christ by faith. For the apostle openly declares, the law brings wrath, and through the law comes knowledge of sin. And if the law had been given, which could justify or make alive, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scriptures, that is the law, has concluded under all sin that the promise which was given, which of faith of Jesus might be given to those who believe. Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. In other words, can I get a witness? Friends, God is unfailing in blessing and love. With thankful hearts, let us offer up to God a portion of what God has given to us, that we might be a testimony to the world. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. O God, we thank you for these gifts. Take them and multiply them and enable the work of your love and righteousness to blossom and grow in this world. We thank you and praise you for all that you have given to us. We offer our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us turn before God in prayer. And let us pray for this world that God loves so much. And in our prayers, let us join our voices together in saying, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O God, your unfailing love has been the source of our strength. It has led us through troubled waters and away from our enemies. In your infinite love, you have had pity upon us and heard our cries. Because of your faithful love and mercy, we bring our concerns now to you, O God. We pray for the universal church, that it might be an instrument of your love, forgiveness, and grace. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the global community, that we would learn to live for each other in peace and cooperation and share collective responsibility. We pray for all areas of conflict in our world, and especially today we pray for the people of Iran and for the nations of the Persian Gulf. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our local community and especially for those who live on the boundaries of our society or those who seek to find their place in it. For the unhoused and those whose shelter does not meet their needs. For those who are reliant on food banks and social services just to get by each month. And for those who struggle with mental illness. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who suffer in their minds, bodies, or souls, and especially this day, we remember the Mack family as they mourn the loss of Barry. Wrap your arms around them in love, and help us, the church, be what they need. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the silent intentions that we hold in our hearts, the people we may know, and the burdens we bear, we lift them up now to you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Glory be to the Father, and to Jesus Christ, the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Hear us now, O God, as we continue to pray in the manner that Jesus taught us, joining our voices together and saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 651 in the Book of Praise. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. Hymn 651. In the book, and as the words will appear before you on the screen. as we go from this place. May we walk in the strength and confidence that God guides our feet. Therefore, live for God, show mercy, and love one another. And may the God who protects and defends keep you in safety, mercy, and love this day and forevermore. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.